Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Now, I can't make up my mind. Is it the typical Democrat Monday because, you know, the weekend they do their dump of the news, and boy, did they do a dump. Or because a lot of the news is about Trump, it would be their Trump dump, so it would be Trump Monday, I guess, right?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I do know...
It stinks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Over the weekend, actually, I guess it was Friday, they passed another budget. And the Republicans, because they've been saying for weeks now that they were going to champion the people and protect us from all of the crap that is usually in these budgets, the Republicans did absolutely nothing. Nothing. All they did is rubber stamp essentially what the Democrats wanted. They got money in there for transporting illegals into our country.
Flying them.
That's exactly right, Bill. Flying.
Yeah, they got a free, yeah.
No. No bus. No bus. We'll put you on a nice plane. We'll give you some service on the plane. You'll have a nice time. It'll be a nice flight.
There's sandwiches on the plane?
I'm sure there are. And then
some snacks?
They also got no money for the border. No money for protection of our country. None. Zero. Zip. I think that the budget was a $1 trillion budget, they said. You know, I come from an era, Bill, when we talked in millions and billions. You know, when I was younger, millions
and
of this,
was a lot
millions
of, money
of
that.
It was a lot of money. But now they're talking in trillions like it's no big deal.
Here's the interesting thing about that, talking in the trillions. And I think when we entered into this, they'll blame it on Trump that the debt got so high, you know, $30-something trillion because of Trump. Well, yeah, you had a Democratic Congress and Senate, so let's not even lie about that. Without them passing along these budgets here, you know, he had nothing to do with it. You did it. You stinking Dems did it. And now you still got pretty much control. You got control of the Senate and you got the White House, right?
So
you
and
got
basically, you know, with all due respect, they have control of the House, even though it isn't technically in their hands.
Yeah, they got control, and they're about just to make it official here, and probably maybe this week or in a few weeks for sure. But, you know, Biden keeps saying he's lowered that debt by $1.7 trillion, and he's going to keep doing it. Really, Joe? Because I keep hearing about all these trillions of dollars going out the frickin' window, and you're going, well, I've lowered it by 1.7. Oh yeah? Well, you just put 6 million on it. A trillion on it. You're lying through your teeth, which is something you know
well. I'm glad neither of us got any sleep last night. We both were talking before the show that we got no sleep, so we're ready to go for this show. But
piss and vinegar, here it is, man.
Absolutely. They actually we talked about the House being essentially Republican. I mean, a Democrat, even though it is still Republican by one vote. This guy over the weekend who resigned, Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, he knew what he was doing. People say, what do you mean? Well, he didn't just casually decide to move his retirement date up to April. He did it in mid-April so that it's at a point beyond when they can have a special election in Wisconsin and replace him with another Republican. Listen to this. If he were to resign before the 9th of April, Wisconsin would have a special election for a new representative. But he's doing it on the 19th of April, which means there will be a vacancy in that slot for the remainder of the year. He did it intentionally, which means that we can't replace a Republican with a Republican. It means
that puts that seat up for politicking hard. You know, there's going to be hardcore money there to go Democrat.
And Bill, you know as well as I do, another Republican is going to drop out. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene has put a motion forward to vacate the seat of the Speaker because the Speaker, Mike Johnson, did absolutely nothing to protect us. He did nothing with regard to Republican values and Republican issues, nothing during this whole budget thing, nothing, zero. But she put up a motion to vacate, but she hasn't brought it to the floor yet, and there's a difference. If you don't bring it to the floor, it's like, I'm gonna get you if you don't do the right thing. It's a warning. It's like getting a warning when you get stopped, right? You haven't gotten a real ticket yet, but it's a warning. So she has said I'm going to put a motion to vacate, but I'm not going to bring it to the floor for a vote. That means that he's been told to, you know, walk the straight
and
narrow.
He's on notice.
Yeah. Well, you know what's going to happen right now. Now that there's only one vote separating the majority from being a Democratic majority, Mike Johnson is going to say, look, if you vacate me from the seat, I'm sure he's going to say this to Marjorie behind closed doors. If you vacate me from the seat, I'm going to quit. And if I quit, you lose the House. And you lose.
And then if he quits, he's not a damn Republican.
But
get the hell out.
But wait a second. After this, all you have to do is look at the budget that he essentially rubber stamped, and you know he's not a Republican. And I, you know, somebody said to me, well, you know, we may lose the House, and it may be
we already lost it.
Democrat. We lost it. We lost it. McCarthy even. Kevin McCarthy said, well, you lost the House majority when you lost me. When you removed me from the speakership. He said it with a smirk, Kevin McCarthy. Like, hey. And you know, it's because he's probably pulling strings behind the scenes as we speak right now. McCarthy is probably why do you think these people are bailing out? Why do you think this Mike Gallagher all of a sudden out of nowhere says, I'm gonna leave. I mean, I've only got a few more months, but I'm going to leave right now because I'm going to screw the Republicans. That's essentially what he said. And this is a guy who is a Republican. Show me your friends, and I'll tell you what you are. You know, what do they say? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Well, where is Kevin from?
He's from California.
Oh, yeah. Where's Nancy from?
She's from California, too. Isn't that amazing?
Schiff?
Adam Schiff is from California. I think Eric Swalwell is, too.
Now, I can remember as a kid growing up in Fresno, California, California didn't have a pot to pee in. And as far as saying anything, somewhere along the line, there was some kind of fiasco that was put together. Let's get some Californites in there, Democrats, and we can rule the roost, you know. And what have they done? I mean,
they've
done got
exactly
some,
that, you know. Bill, there's a guy named Bill Hagerty. He's a senator from Tennessee. And when they were talking the budget over the weekend, actually before the weekend, he said essentially, look, I'm going to add an amendment to this package which prohibits us from flying illegals around the country, you know, into our country. We're not going to do that part of the bill. Now, all we want you to do is vote for this amendment. This amendment should be voted because it's a pro-American amendment. Would you believe that not a single Democrat voted? He was on the Senate.
Yeah.
He was on the Senate floor, Bill. He said this.
In order to consider my very simple and reasonable amendment, it's vital that the Senate must move the Democrat leader's blocking amendment out of the way in order to move forward with my amendment. Let me cut through the procedural language here. I'm bringing forward a vote on a very simple question. Do you support American taxpayer dollars being used to fly illegal immigrants from countries like Venezuela and Haiti into America to be settled in cities and towns near you? If so, then vote against me. Vote no to preserve this practice of using taxpayer dollars to charter planes that move and import thousands of illegal aliens into your states. Make no mistake here, President Biden has been secretly flying hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from foreign countries into Blue City airports. Just last year alone, in 2023, it was reported that some 320,000 illegal aliens have been flown in using this method. Americans are
Senator's time has expired. Does this...
Well, that essentially is what he put the amendment on the floor about. It was very simple, you know. Vote for this amendment, and you won't be able to fly illegals into our country to anywhere they want to go. And not a single Democrat voted for that bill.
Okay, who
was our enemy?
Have the majority. So who was our enemy there?
No, that was a senator and the Democrats.
The Senate, yeah, okay.
The Democrats already have the Senate. But even that bill, I mean, that was a simple amendment. That wasn't like we're going to swamp the whole budget. I just want to stick a little amendment on which says that we can't fly illegals all over the country from places like Venezuela and Haiti and places like that. You know, and that, to me, sounded like a no-brainer. Yet not one Democrat voted for that amendment. Not one.
You know, it's funny because in the words of AOC over the weekend, you know, about all the Trump things, and I got words on that that we'll get to later, but she made a quote that it's not about politics. It's about justice. Well, in this vote, it is about politics, AOC.
Yeah.
It's definitely about politics. And it's, you know, you are spineless people. You don't give a damn about the United States of America or John Q. Public out there. You're in it for your own self, and that is it.
She's as dumb as a box of rocks, okay?
She is a box of rocks.
She said that the RICO is not... RICO is a category, she said. I'm trying to make sure I got her. RICO is a category, not a crime. She's an idiot, and yet she's there.
She's categorically dumb.
But she walks around and pontificates like she's got it all figured out, and everybody else is a numbskull, okay? You know, you listen to some people who are fixing your plumbing, and if they're talking politics, they got a better handle on what's going on than I think she went to Harvard. Than this numbskull of a representative who claims that she's from the downtrodden section of New York when in reality she's from Westchester County. You know, this is the type of people, the caliber of people we have in Washington. You know, we don't need to worry about the Venezuelans and the Chinese coming in to destroy our country because we voted a whole bunch of them into the Senate and into the House of Representatives. They're in the swamp. They're doing a hell of a job down in D.C. right now as we speak.
And AOC's not going to go anywhere because the stupid Dems, if they actually voted for her, will vote her back in. You know, I have my serious questions about the legitimacy of a lot of elections. And so, you know, a little sick of head Dem will go, oh, no, that's the will of the people. Is the will of the people for us to be one-party rule? That is where we are headed.
Yeah.
And that, to me, smacks of it is about politics, it is about lying, it is about the steal, because that's what it really is.
Bill,
I mean, I talk to people that are Republican and Democrat, and they're all going, what up with this?
Well, you and I grew up in an era when we talked with amusement. Oh, the Soviet Union, they only have one party over there. I mean, hey, boy, they must be a corrupt government because they only have one party. You know, that's how the Soviets work. Well, look around you now. Look around you here. Essentially, we have one party right now. You would have thought there would have been a knockdown, drag-out fight on this budget. You would have thought that they would have been saying things like, I'm not going to give you my vote unless you make damn sure there's some money in there to protect our borders, not next year, but now. Now. But they didn't do that. They just sat down quietly with their hands folded and raised their hand when they were told to raise their hand, and that was it. Because they were cowards. They're cowards. They're all, you know, by the way, Bill, all these damn representatives, they're all out for their little piece of the pie, you know, that they snuck onto the bill.
Why can't we do a House and a Senate audit? Oh, you're in the Senate? We'd like to audit your books.
Well, that'd be nice, but you know, you got to have, it's like asking the wolf to count the chickens, you know? It's like asking the wolf to count the chickens.
As it's spitting out the feathers.
What chickens?
What chickens?
Exactly. These people aren't going to, it's like asking them, I hear people say, you know, we need term limits. We do need term limits. Enough of this nonsense of people making careers out of their positions in government. Yeah, we need term limits, but who has to vote on it? The same people you want to make term limited, you know? It's never going to happen, period. I don't know how they're ever going to get something like that through. It's like asking for them to cut their salaries. You think they'll ever pass a bill about cutting their salary? No, never. Anyway, a lot of things to talk about, Bill. That was one of them. By the way, as we speak, they're still coming in from Venezuela. They're coming in from China. Someone said over the weekend, I heard somebody say in one of the talk shows, I don't understand it, because the Chinese, they are very pickety about who they allowed to leave their country. You know, they don't just say, "Yeah, you want to go to America? Sure, go ahead." They don't do that. You no. have to be vetted before they let you go. So all these people coming across the border, all these military-aged men coming across the border,
they have jobs here.
You know, Bill,
Chinese jobs.
You know, We are letting an army into our country. I heard them say that now they're worried about, and they've already picked up some members of ISIS at our border. ISIS.
Yeah. So those are the cots. What about the getaways?
That's exactly right.
There's always a getaway.
No, they're. And by the way, we all, for the most part, just try to bury our heads in the sand. Not a big deal. Nothing to see
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you know, if I were coming from somewhere afar, I wouldn't go through the border properly like all the other illegals crashing. I think I would find a different route that nobody would know. I would just show up on some, you know, little coastal city looking like a normal person because, you know, there's nobody around to say, "Excuse me, but I haven't seen you around here before."
Me with a boat? Just to have a little.
I could casually come across in a boat.
Don't you think they're doing that, Bill?
Oh yeah, I'm saying that.
I think we're being invaded from all sides.
Hello, you know? Who's to say you couldn't take a little plane, fly over to Greenland, and then say, "Okay, getting off the plane here, leaving it, gonna go and get a boat or something, and find my way."
Oh, and I got something that's gonna raise your hackles.
The cackles?
Oh, yeah. Hackles. Yes, both of those things. Now, apparently, Mexico is saying to us, we don't like what you're doing on the border with your barriers and walls because it's causing tension in that area, and we don't like
really?
It.
Really?
As if all of a sudden now, we have to be concerned with the government of Mexico. I mean, there was a time when we would have told them, sit down and be quiet. But no, because Joe Biden is a failure as a president. And believe me, I know you may, maybe you voted for him last time, and maybe you're saying, well, I'm voting for him this time. Okay, well, just look at all the great success that Joe Biden has had. He's destroyed our borders. He's destroyed our budget. He's destroyed our enthusiasm as a country. Right now, we feel like a failing country. Have you noticed that, Bill? That we, not too long ago, when Trump was president, we felt a certain...
Like we're a winner again.
Like we were winners again. Yeah. Even the people who don't like Trump felt, well, I'm still getting paid a pretty decent buck, and I'm making a lot of money on my investments, and you know,
now you know what? I think we got the premise of a new Kurt Douglas movie there. You know,
what's that?
Escape from America.
Escape from America. Well, you know,
get old Snake back in the job.
Pretty soon,
there,
if they keep doing what they're doing with our borders and allowing the people into the country like they are, you're going to see citizens going the other direction.
There are people already saying, "No, I'm done with this." But you know what? There is a global community out there, and they're taking over the entire planet. And until we stop that, you know, there really is nowhere to go. You've just got to make sure that you have what you need to live a healthy, happy life because you're not going to like the politics that are going on. But, you know, Trump is a shining example of what the elite can do to you because today is Trump Day. And, you know, you got Fannie Willis that came out with a warning over the weekend. Okay, I'm proud of what I did. And there were things being written while we were going on the trial, and she's going to slam them now today. Now you look at what's going on. End of the deadline today for Trump's ransom. If he wants to move forward, they want 500, what is it, 400 and
464, 464, I believe.
Okay. Now, they've already filed the paperwork over the weekend for Trump Tower, for his golf course. Wait a minute now. All right, Trump Tower, they should only file for they shouldn't have, that 454 should be challenged, and he's legitimately due that, but even the Democrats are saying, nah, They're not going to sit there and do that. They're going to go with this. They're running with it. Now, Trump Tower, I think it was 1988 when Trump first got involved in investing in it. Mm-hmm. He bought it for a little over $800 million.
I think it's at Columbus Circle, I believe. I think it used to be the Gulf and Western building. I could be wrong, but he completely renovated it and made
He redid everything, and you know, I mean, he's had his ups and downs with it, but he owns the darn thing, and it's right now.
Yeah.
Just the guesstimate value. Usually, it's more than that. It's $1.9 billion. So you would think if they filed on Trump Tower, it should stop there. No, they're going after Mar-a-Lago, the golf course, and other assets of his. Wait a minute. You gave an illegal judgment of $454 million, but you're going after at least $2 or $3 billion in assets?
Oh, sure. But listen, Jonathan Turley, who's a constitutional law professor, he was on with Larry Kudlow on Friday, and they were talking about whether or not Letitia could actually seize the properties and... Here's what Jonathan Turley said. It's good news, actually.
But I think that all of the drama going up to the appellate review has got to help Trump to some extent. I think that even people that don't like Trump did not like what they were seeing here. There are very few people that could come up with this amount of cash in this short of time. And if he hadn't, and maybe he still won't, it could put his appeal in danger. So the judge could set a figure so high that unless he sold the property he's trying to protect, he can't get anyone to review the decision.
Yes, well, a famous lawyer I know called it mob justice. I don't want to name any names, but a very famous lawyer who appears on TV quite frequently. Jonathan, what do you think that Mr. Trump's attorneys have already filed an appeal to the New York appellate court?
Well, they've started that process. This is going to move up there. Essentially, the trial court just issued another condition of supervised release, or not supervised release, but supervision for 3 years. What was interesting about the court's decision is that should have been the full extent of the overall decision. That is, if he still believed that in this victimless crime where no one lost a dime, that you couldn't trust the corporation, you could have just kept the corporation under this type of monitoring. You didn't have to impose a dollar, let alone $500 million worth of penalty on this defendant. And so it just begs the question again of, well, why hit him with this unprecedented penalty?
No, absolutely. It seems crazy. He's got to give up everything he owns just in order to appeal. Sounds very un-American. Jonathan, a technical question. If worst case for Trump or worst case or whatever, if AG Letitia James seizes a property. Now, there's been stories in the paper today, New York Post and elsewhere, that she's got her eye on Mr. Trump's golf club in Westchester County. If she seizes a property, Jonathan Turley, can she sell the property, just sell it off right away?
It's not that easy, and I think that James is going to find out this is far more complex than she's suggesting to New Yorkers. I mean, James hasn't built anything but her career in her life. Mm. I mean, this is complex finances. Right. And most of these properties are partnerships. They have leveraged debt. All of that has to be unraveled. So these aren't just this one-to-one Trump versus James type of equation. So in order to seize that property, she's going to be pulled into court. There's going to be challenges. It's not going to happen overnight. Where everyone is celebrating this idea that she's going to padlock Trump Tower, it's not likely to happen. And certainly not likely to remain very long. The other thing is that she could be harming the value of the property that she's trying to seize with some of these actions. I don't think that matters to her, but it might matter to a court.
You may recall about a month ago at the Laura Ingraham Fox Town Hall with Mr. Trump, he pulled a piece of paper out of his suit coat and read the Eighth Amendment. I think it was about a month ago or so. I must confess, I've been texting him about the Eighth Amendment, and he sent me back this article from from an outlet called the Los Angeles Daily News, written by a woman named Susan Shelley. Anyway, the story was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You may know this. Maybe you teach. Ruth Bader Ginsburg used the Eighth Amendment to stop a much smaller case in Indiana. Samuel Alito assisted her, and she said that the Eighth Amendment goes all the way back to the Magna Carta.
There's also the due process question. The Supreme Court has on rare occasion stepped into state cases and said this is such a sort of over-the-top damage figure that it violates due process. Now, that one of those cases involving BMW involved punitive damages, mm-hmm. where the ratio was over 1 to 10 by a considerable margin. Mm-hmm. So it was well over what they usually deal with. And the court said, look, when it gets to be that large, there's due process questions. New York is unique, I think, in this case, because they have made even the bond confiscatory. So it's not just the damages, but the bond rule that seemed to be punitive, certainly in the use by James and this judge. So those are going to be viable challenges, and it could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. One last one, Jonathan, because just before the show, we bumped into Shannon Bream up on the 20th floor, and I was asking her about this. She, you know, legal analyst herself, and she covers the Supreme
Court. You're a good lawyer.
Yeah, very good one. So, anyway, the point is, I asked her, has Trump already appealed to the Supremes on Eighth Amendment grounds? And she said probably he would wait until it runs through the appellate court appeals in New York before he goes to the Supremes. Does that sound right to you, or might he be already appealing to the Supremes on Eighth Amendment grounds?
I think he'd be wise to go through the appellate court.
Right.
This is not like jumping a trial court in the federal system or an appellate court. The state system has the primary role here. Just one judge has reviewed this law and made this, in my view, absurd ruling and imposed this penalty. I think he'd be wise. He has to have these New York judges take a look at this. And hopefully they will redeem the New York legal system by saying it's not about Trump, it's about us, and this is way over the top.
And if he went to the Supreme Court, if he jumped all those different levels and went right to the Supreme Court, they may just turn around and say, hey, you got to go exhaust your other options before you bring it here. So they may just, he's got to go through the steps. But I do think that an appellate court with any real fairness is going to look at this and say this is ridiculous.
Well, there's a lot of layers to this onion to unpeel. I mean, the simple fact is going after all those assets is illegal. It does set a precedent. Are they going to try to do it? Probably so. If they get away with it, and there's a chance that they will, let's just be honest, because, you know, it's all for one here for them. It's going to rewrite law and rule. Once they do that, it becomes a part of history in the books. And now that means everybody, everything is fair game. You know, Hochul came out over the weekend. Let me see if I can remember exactly what it was that she said. She said that this was, Hochul, here it is, says, it's not about politics. Trump didn't follow the rules. She didn't say didn't follow the law, which it's illegal. He did follow the law, but she didn't say law. She said rules. She gave themselves up there. Whose rules, Ms. Hochul? Was it laws or was it Democrat rules? He did something that you guys didn't like, and Dems the rules, we's the Democrats, and you's going to jail.
Well, you know, what you're saying is true. I mean, it sets precedent. If they allow this to be law, if they allow this to be a legal finding, then it's going to put all these other corporations in jeopardy. Forget Donald Trump for a second. I mean, if you have a business, a big business, especially a real estate business in New York, and there are a lot of billionaires in New York right now who are looking very, very closely at what's going on because they own buildings too. You know, when I was a young man working in New York, I can think off the top of my head, I think it was Hillman. Hillman was a company that owned a lot of buildings in New York. I can't think of the others, but every time you walk into a building, you see a plaque somewhere which would say, well, this building is owned by, you know, so-and-so. And usually it was like a guy and his friends who own this corporation, they own the building, you know? All these guys now are looking at what's happening to Trump and saying, well, if it can happen to Donald, and Donald had a clean business, he didn't even have anybody complain about how he was handling his business. Nobody was a victim. Then we gotta think twice about whether or not we stay in New York.
Well, the Dems will sit there and say, well, you know, he's a mobster. Well, you know, mobsters didn't pay their bills. And he's not a mobster. He did. You know, people walked away and said, no, he played by all the rules, all the laws.
Yeah.
No victims, no crime. Everybody got paid. But, you know, AOC did the little dance. He's out of money. He's out of money. We got him. We can get his stuff.
Oh,
she did say that, by the way.
By the way, they are children. They are literally children thinking that they, you know, I was thinking this is Letitia
James.
They
want to bankrupt him.
Letitia James ran on the idea that she was going to go after Trump. She said it. There's video of her saying it. It was like her main flaw. I don't know how the people in New York State, I don't know what the hell you're thinking of, okay? I don't know how you vote these people in. Buffalo,
I don't think they
Rochester,
do.
Utica, Albany. How do you go along with this idiocy that they have done in New York City? I mean, I know New York City's huge. It's a big, 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 big city. But still, I mean, don't you have any more? You know, if you have no say in your state, rest of New York, suburban New York, if you have no say in your state, you should maybe think about cutting it in half or cutting it in pieces so that you have a slightly smaller state. Leave New York City to be a state by itself, and the rest of you start out anew. What do you think? Yeah.
I agree. I was just going to sit there and I just lost my mind here. Where'd you go, mind?
He lost his mind.
It's running around the room here somewhere. But
it's true. Know, I mean, you know, they really, when you have a state like New York, it's a big state, and you have it controlled by a small geographical piece of the state, New York City. Maybe what you should do is just put a dividing line in Westchester County and say, okay, you guys can be a state from the south on down. Go ahead.
My mind came back. You know, I don't know that all these people are actually voting the way that they say that they vote. Now, yes, it's true that, you know, there are people that sit there and they watch the NBC, MSNBC, and all of that crap. All right? But, you know, their actual numbers, if you sat there and looked at their ratings, what they are, and extrapolated that to the general voting population, the numbers don't make sense. They really don't make sense if that's where they're getting. And, you know, there are people that have that impression that everything that they say is right. Now, maybe it's the cumulative total. I know that the Dems are concerned right now, or they're not concerned. They're mystified that Trump's Truth Social might become part of a bigger company. Actually, I think the deal is done.
Yeah.
And first it was about $3 billion. Now it could be $5 billion, even upwards to $9 billion. They're going, but he only makes a scant amount. Scant was the word.
Scant.
A scant amount of money.
Scant this.
Okay. Well, no, I'm sitting there going, you're at MSNBC and you're talking about scant. You have scant ratings. You have scant money. You've got scant for brains. Come on.
But, you know, they you know? Minimize what Trump has done. You just said it. They first said he'll make $3 billion. That was conservative. He may make a lot more when all is said and done from his Truth Social stock. By the way, I have some Truth Social stock.
But they're trying. But see what they're trying to diminish it now. Its value. They're attacking everything that they can to diminish the value. It's just like, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, the Trump properties. You know, they're leveraged here and there because that's what investors do. Well, I got this property for $500 million. It's worth $1.5 billion. I want to take out a $700 million loan so I can do this other property, and you keep building. You know, that's how real estate investment works. You use other people's money, you pay them back, you build it up, and then you pay on that loan, and they get a nice percentage return. Don't think that they don't. But all this crap going on, And they're trying to seize a lot of his assets. They could be scaring the banks or the investors to say, hey, Trumpy, I got to pull out. I got to call my loan on you because I don't want to go down the toilet with you. And he's not going down the toilet, but they're going to put these people, you know, as if, you know, if you're tied to him, you're mm-hmm. tied to the mess. So they're trying to do it.
They're doing
attack.
Everything they can, Bill, to make him look bad, to make him look like he's the problem, meaning Trump.
That you know, everybody will pull out from backing and doing anything.
You saw Joe Scarborough last week. He was blaming the border crisis that we had last Thursday. You know,
on
where they
Trump.
He blamed it on Trump. He had the audacity. By the way, if you watch that video, you know, where all those military age men storm the National Guard troop, overwhelm them, and run. The only thing that stops them from getting into the country is the wall. Because they break away the barbed wiring, and they get through, and they push away the National Guard, but they run another 20 or 30 yards up to the Trump wall, and then they're stuck. Then they're stuck. They're still stuck behind that wall. And if it wasn't for Trump and that wall, they would have all gotten in. They would have all gotten into the country. You know, it's amazing. Tim Kaine, you know, where's he from? Virginia. He's a Democratic senator right now. Tim Kaine. I think he was a former governor, or he ran for governor. Anyway, Tim Kaine, the Democratic senator, I think from Virginia, he says that it wasn't really an invasion. That wasn't really an invasion. We saw it, by the way, with our own eyes. We saw several hundred military-aged men storm our troops and overwhelm them and come into our country. We saw it with our own eyes, but he's saying it wasn't really an invasion. Somebody over the weekend said this, and it's true. You know, you don't have to put them into a uniform to make them invaders. You don't have to put them into a military uniform to make them an attacking army. You know, they essentially, what they did, and if you, I sat and I looked at the TV set and I said, I don't see any children. I don't see any women. All I see are young men in good shape charging our soldiers. That's all I see.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's talking about it. By the way, you know what they did? The next day, they put a gate up and they put a sign on the gate to the media. No media beyond this point.
Right,
I saw
that.
They don't want to let the media see any more of those unfortunate situations. And that's that's the Border Patrol, not the state of Texas.
Yeah, there's something nefarious that's really going on. I mean, Democrats are worried. I'm sure that, you know, the term is loosely said that Biden's considering going nuclear on the border. I would hope. But, you know, just to say the word, you know, he might misinterpret that. I'm sure that they're talking about he's just going to, you know, go all in on his invasion. But I'll tell you what, there's something nefarious here. There's a reason for all these people coming here. Yeah, it's probably votes, but I don't know if they even need the people for the votes because, you know, they know how to steal it and they can shut it down.
Yeah, Bill, Do you think like I think? I hear people saying, fans of Trump saying, we've got to overwhelm them in November. We've got to.
I don't know that that's going
to
work.
Yeah, I think to myself, wait a second. If they own the computer system, can't they just rig it so they'll get whatever votes they need to win, no matter what?
Sure.
Couldn't you
say algorithm change there? Yeah, a little number change here.
Win by 12%, no matter what the vote. And the system will figure it out as it goes, and whatever you get, it'll increase it by 12%, and you win. I mean,
you can put a doubler in there, and you know every Biden vote is a twofer.
You know, Bill,
two for one.
Bill, you know, we might laugh or chuckle or something like that, but I wouldn't put it past him. You know, the other thing that happened over the weekend was there was a terrible attack in Russia, and now. You don't see a lot of stories about this, but this was, first they said there were 60 people killed. Then they dropped it down to 30. Now I think it's up to like 130 dead, and or maybe more. I mean, it's just, and there's a ton of people in the hospital, and ISIS took credit for doing it. ISIS took credit for the actual attack, but they caught, I guess they caught most of the attackers as they were trying to escape, and the Russians said that they were escaping towards the Ukraine. So, right. I mean, that could be just, maybe they figure it's a place where they can seek refuge for the time being, you know, while they get their permanent escape in place. I don't know, but the Ukraine is saying we had nothing to do with that. You know, I don't know, but I can tell you this. There's video online. It is the most gruesome, most sadistic thing I've ever seen, one of them anyway. I mean, these guys walk in with military garb on. They're holding, I think it was AK-47s, I could be wrong, but they literally just walk up to innocent people for no good reason and kill them. And they, you see it on the video. I don't know who had the courage to do this, to take the video, but there was one of the people in that place who had their camera taking video while all this was happening, you know, and he was up above, like, it looked like he was shooting down from, like, a balcony type situation. But they also set the building on fire. They also set the building. I mean, it was a terribly, terribly upsetting for any civilized person. It was a terribly upsetting thing to see. It was a mini 9/11. Okay, we lost tens of thousands. I mean, tens. We lost. I'm sorry. We lost thousands of people on 9/11. They lost. I would be willing to say, when all is said and done, they will have lost probably a couple of hundred on the attack. But that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And I'm thinking to myself, is this the beginning? Is this going to happen? They said, ISIS said they're at war with Western worlds who are against them. Well, I'm thinking that means, and we're letting ISIS in at our southern border? We found ISIS members?
It doesn't make sense that they're at war with Western worlds that are against them if they went against Russia. It's not a Western world.
Well, they kind of are. I mean, not that I know what you're saying technically, but if you look at Russia, I mean, it's a modern, in many ways, it's a much more modern country now. It kind of looks like a Western country now.
But here's the problem, though. You know, when you U.S. says, well, we warned Russia about this. They, you know, they should have looked at our intelligence. How did we know that was going to happen? And what do we care about Russia since we're funding the war against them? It doesn't make sense.
They're saying the Russian government actually kind of poo-pooed our warning, like we're not going to do something that will destabilize our society.
Then the narrative over the weekend is Russia is attacking, you know, the Ukraine like crazy right now to take the blame off of themselves for the attack in Russia. I'm like, wait a minute. You guys are throwing a lot of darts here against a lot of walls. You're trying to see which one sticks. Simple fact is what happened in Russia, just like what happened in Israel, was heinous from, you know, any of these terrorist groups, and they got to be stopped. The war in the Ukraine and Russia, well, you know, any loss of life is bad. But,
you know, Bill, those 11,
please consider,
those 11 guys that they picked up that were responsible for that terrorist attack, I think they'll regret that it didn't happen in our country, because in Russia, their justice is far more swift and final. You know, it's like
We would let them go.
We would have sent them back to their country. You know,
But not until that they were the honorees at a new holiday named after them.
Probably. I mean, but
you know, American Day
in Russia, they're gonna. You watch. Don't be looking to send those guys any correspondence in 6 months, because they probably won't be here anymore. By the way, speaking of things, I don't know why this came to mind. I've been watching this new miniseries on Netflix, The Fall of the House of Usher. If the title sounds familiar, you're saying The Fall of the House of Usher. It's a classic Edgar Allan Poe book, The Fall of the House of Usher. And it was written with great flair and typical Edgar Allan Poe style. This thing here that they put together, I'm watching it. I've gone through four episodes or five episodes. I'm going to watch it to the end because I've gone this far, right? But it is vile. It is obscene. It is something that I wouldn't let your kids watch just casually. This is not the classic Edgar Allan Poe Fall of House of Usher. And by the way, it got great reviews. In IMDb, it got a 7.9. I'm only saying this right now because, when you remember stuff at my age, you got to grab it because it never really stands still. It just keeps on going. So, I can watch it. I understand what they're doing, but it isn't the classic Edgar Allan Poe book. I'm just saying that. And they do that a lot in Hollywood nowadays. Maybe the rights are public domain right now for Edgar Allan Poe stuff. So they just take the title, slap it on a story that they modernize it, and it probably makes very little connection between the real story. But there's a lot of stuff like that going on. And the dysfunctional family, the Usher family in this new version, it's very deep state-ish. I'll just say it at that, all right? Very deep. It's almost like they're showing a window into what really is going on in the business world, in the world in general. There are a lot of conspiracies out there, and they kind of bring some of those conspiracies to light. So I just wanted to point that out over the weekend while I was, doing nothing, which I'm very good at, by the way.
You're watching a show, yes.
Yes, but I'm very good at that. I mean, I could probably get my doctorate in doing nothing. But anyway, also, Jonathan Karl, not a fan of President Trump. Jonathan Karl, he hosts one of those ABC talk programs. He had Marco Rubio on, and he found himself being kind of humiliated by Rubio. I think he thought Rubio was going to go in a certain direction, and Rubio didn't. And well, listen to this.
I want to turn to politics. There was some reporting this week that you are possibly under consideration to be Donald Trump's running mate. I don't put a lot of stock in this reporting right now, or we're early, but you said it would be an honor to be offered a spot on his ticket. Really?
Yeah, I think anyone who's offered the opportunity to serve this country as vice president should be honored by the opportunity to do it if you're in public service. I'm in the Senate because I want to serve the country. Being vice president is an important way to serve the country. But I've also been clear, I've never talked to Donald Trump. I've never talked to anybody on his team or family or inner circle about vice president. That's a decision he's going to make. He has plenty of really good people to pick from.
I mean, the reason why I ask is, I mean, look what happened to the last guy. A mob stormed the Capitol, literally calling to hang Mike Pence.
Listen,
and Trump defended those chants of hang Mike Pence.
I will tell you this, that when Donald Trump was president of the United States, this country was safer, it was more prosperous. We had relations, for example, in a part of the world that I care about called the Western Hemisphere that were very strong. We had a lot of good things done there. I think the country and the world was a better place when he was president. And I would love to see him return to the White House in comparison to the guy who's there now, Joe Biden, who's been a disaster economically. Look at the world. Every single day we wake to a new crisis, to a new conflict. Everything has gone on fire since the time Joe Biden took over. Afghanistan's gone down. Ukraine has been invaded. Now the Philippines and the Chinese are on the verge of something bad happening every single day, not to mention the threats to Taiwan. We have this blow up in Haiti going on in our very own hemisphere. We wake up every single day, terrorist attacks, nine million people across the border.
I mean
that's
what matters. You're not suggesting that's all happening because of Biden.
Absolutely, I'm suggesting it happening because of Biden. He's president, and his weakness and his...
It's because of Biden that Russia invaded Ukraine?
Absolutely.
It's because of Biden that Haiti... Okay,
absolutely. I mean, Putin is sitting there saying these guys can't even stand up to the Taliban, and they have to fly people hanging off the wing of these airplanes. Now's the time to go.
Trump's the one saying that suggesting that there should be a deal that effectively gives Putin what he wants in Ukraine. But
that's not true. What he has said is he wants the conflict to end, which is striking to me that people, why wouldn't people want peace? What I've said is there is going to be a negotiated, so Russia's not going to take all of Ukraine. Ukraine's not going to push Russia back to where it was in 2014. I want Ukraine to have the upper hand in any negotiation.
Jonathan Karl is an idiot, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, with all due respect, Jonathan, you, sir, are an idiot. Yes, you have a reputation. Yes, people know of your work. You are talked of in the halls of many a Washington home. But in reality, sir, you're partisan and you have an agenda. And Marco Rubio is having none of it, sir. And he did a heck of a job. Thank you, Marco Rubio. You'd be a very good vice president, you know. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. A lot of things happened over the weekend. Chuck Todd. Did you hear Chuck Todd's thing? I got to play this, too. We're in a roll here. Chuck Todd.
Oh, you're on a roll. I haven't gotten any of my stuff.
Yeah, but I got these clips that I got to run, or they won't be any good tomorrow. Chuck Todd was talking about Rona Romney McDaniels being on NBC. Listen.
Dive right in. What were your takeaways?
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? Once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told me we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. It's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial independence.
There was a time, by the way, when I was in broadcasting, when I worked at some of these big places, if you acted like that on the air about a boss, you'd be out of work. You'd be off the air. You'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
He had no problem talking about the decision his boss has made about hiring Rona Romney McDaniels. But I figured out, Bill, during that audio, what the problem was. The problem is any reporter who goes by two first names cannot be trusted. Jonathan Carl, that's two first names, and Chuck Todd. I mean, does that make sense to you?
Well, it's quite a coinkydink, I would say. I don't know if it makes sense, but it's nothing
hey,
from the
now
left
listen,
makes sense
I've talked
to
enough.
Me.
Yes, you have stuff to do. We still have some time, so it's all yours.
I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it short. But Biden. You know, he took classified documents, obviously, out of the White House. You know, and this was when he was vice president. You know, well, why did he do it? And this was in the Hur report. Now, they say this is not about politics.
Yeah.
You know, like they want to allude us about justice. All right. So he took documents out of the White House, out of a skiff. Mm-hmm. He was a senator at the time. And he did it because he was writing a book. He got $8 million advance for that book. So he took it out for ego and pride. What are the two key ingredients for being a thief? Ego and pride. You know, but it's about justice, ladies and gentlemen. It's one-sided justice. So you know that it what's good for thee is not good for me,
and
that's just the way
president and could do it. He could take stuff, classified documents out. He could declassify.
But he didn't write a book with it, did he?
No.
He didn't get it advanced, did he?
He put him in a safe and put him under lock and key and had them protected by Secret Service. But that's okay. Joe Biden, he did it, by the way, not as just as vice president. He did it as a senator, too, years and years ago. So
how's the Biden economy doing in your fair opinion?
Oh, it's going along like a stopwatch.
It just stopped. Yeah, yes. Okay. There you go. Well, good. He's going to get some help today. You know, he took a weekend vacation. And
he needed
that time,
it. He needed
it. Well, actually, I understand he recorded a speech there. You know,
did
they had
really?
To do several. Took him the whole weekend to, you know, one line, Joe, just one line. We'll splice it all. I had to do that with a hockey player one time. I won't say who it was, part of the Wrecking Crew in Pittsburgh, but they did all the commercials, and they called me up and said, hey, you know, you're getting some good money. I said, oh, what do you want me to voice? They said, oh, no, it's not you. We've got so-and-so.
Yes.
And they came in, and they're sitting there chewing
it
their gum.
It took hours.
I said, could you take the gum out? No, I'm not going to do that. Okay, one line. He couldn't even read one damn line. So that took me 2 days to edit, and that's Joe Biden there, you know, to do his speech. But apparently he's going to get a little help. The Federal Reserve is going to cut the rates. Apparently that came down over the weekend, and they're going to boost a seriously failing Biden economy, and hopefully it will boost his poll numbers. Oh, really?
Oh, man. You know, it's
so
amazing.
You're going to do something to prop this old man up?
Well,
they're
trying to prop him up illegally, and they're trying to convict Trump illegally. All these things that they're trying to do, which...
Sadly, I'm going to say they might get away with it, because it's not that the American people are behind it. Mm-hmm. It's that they have enough people in play in certain places, and if push comes to shove, well, they'll just shut the government down, and there won't be an election. There you go. It's all Democrat.
You know, people keep saying that more and more. People I talk to, they don't think we're going to get to an election. They think some major crisis. We played, I think, over the weekend. General Flynn thinks there's going to be a Black Swan event, and Rand Paul's father, who was a representative from Texas, he thinks there'll be a Black Swan event. We played Doug McGregor, Colonel Douglas McGregor. He thinks there's going to be a Black Swan event, and we're never going to get to the... these are not crackpots. These are not outliers. These are people who are thoughtful, people who really pay attention to what's happening politically, and they're saying, you know, we're being handed a false flag here. It's not going to happen. We're not going to see the election in 2024.
More taxes on the way for us. Now, if you were an immigrant, an undocumented citizen, illegal immigrant, use the word often. As a matter of fact, post stories about it on Facebook, crash their system, because their algorithms kick out any post that says illegal, because it's just it's a nasty word. But anyway, you know, the illegals receive free rent, free food. They get free lawyers, free Medicare, and you want to take a little vacation? You need to go. You need some luggage for that?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Would you like the round-trip airfare? Okay, you got it. Hotels? No problem.
Speaking of luggage,
where do I get that?
Speaking of luggage, you know when you see the illegals coming across, and I say the word intentionally, when you see them coming across the border, breaking our laws, which I guess would be a definition for illegal, you see them most of the time carrying like a small knapsack, and you think, that can't be your whole life's everything. I mean, that can't be all you're bringing. It isn't. They showed a picture. I saw it yesterday. They have these large trucks coming from Mexico, like tractor trailers, and they have got all of the luggage from these illegals in these trucks. And someone said, well, there's where they're putting the weapons. You know, we see these military-age men, and they're not going through all of these bags.
You know, a lot of truckers are patriots, and if you're a patriot and you know that's happening, you know, that trailer hitch just might at some Passover, you know, might come a little bit loose in that, oh, boy, that's too bad. The thing disconnected from the truck, went right over the hill, busted, and exploded. Who would have figured,
you know,
huh?
We say that, but, you know, Americans, for the most part, are law-abiding good people who... they don't want to get into that kind of a thing. I know what you're saying, Bill. I know exactly what you're saying, but...
No, I'm just saying, you know, but the
And, you know, that's why, for example, those National Guardsmen didn't fire warning shots or shoot at these people who were attacking them. And they were attacking them. You know, in another country, if you did that in another country, let's say you tried to break into Iran, right, across their border, they'd probably shoot you, you know?
Okay, let's say that there is a country that's, for the most part, a democracy and conservative. And all of a sudden, a dictatorial regime took over. They came in militarily, and these people had to get out, and they were coming to America. And conservatives sat there and said, let's open up these borders. Let's get them in, you know, and we'll bring their goods in trucks.
Right.
Just get to the border. Come on in. All right. We're not talking about nefarious people. Let's say,
right,
I'm turning it around.
Yeah, vetted.
Would the Democrats be against that?
Oh, a big time.
Would those trucks come to ill fate with all
absolutely.
Their goods?
Absolutely.
All right. That's all. That's my point.
But Bill, you know this is not a political situation.
No, it's not politics. It's not about the laws. It's about, thank you, Ms. Hochul, because that's right. It's about the rules. Your rules versus the rule of common law, not common law, but common sense. The rule of common sense, there is none. No, it's their way or the highway.
What else you got?
Well, a lot, but time is up, so.
Yeah, time is. Boy, the clock on the wall. Is that thing running at the right speed? It seems like it just started.
It's in slow motion.
No,
which was my body.
It seems like
last
it's going
time.
Really fast. Anyway.
It does go fast, but you know what? There's always tomorrow. There's always more. And actually, you know, with the Trump thing going on today, they're going to decide whether, well, they Engoron and Letitia have already filed the paperwork to seize properties, the golf course and Trump Tower, at least.
But what Jonathan Turley said is true. Each one of those different pieces of property have their own LLCs and co-owners and different people on the board. It's not going to be cut and dry. They're not solely owned specifically by Trump. He doesn't own all of these things individually per se. So it's not going to be as simple as running down to the golf course and throwing a padlock on the gate. You know, it's more involved.
Well, they're going to find some obscure law, and they're going to do a dance, and I think that's what investors are really worried about. It's not so much running to the defense of Trump in a crimeless happenstance. There was no crime, but it's not about that. They're looking out for their own butts because they follow the same model, and the model has been around for a while. Trump followed it. They follow it, and if you take Trump out, or you go after certain assets in certain ways. And this, they took an archaic law, you know, I think was used once and thrown away. And it's not, it doesn't apply because in this case,
they changed the statute of limitations. They changed the statute of limitations and then they changed it back. They moved the statute of limitations so they could charge Trump. And then when the case was over, they moved it back to the time that they, you know, the original.
Yeah, but this is not, it's not politics.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's true.
It has nothing to do with politics.
Do you feel sometimes?
I feel like I'm raped.
Bill, sometimes,
the American public is raped.
Well, I find myself, I was doing this last night while I was lying in bed. I was thinking, do I feel safe in this country anymore?
No.
I mean, it looks like the same country. I look out the window and everything looks the same, but are we as safe? I mean, could there be, at a moment's notice, an attack on our country that would devastate familiar places that I know and neighborhoods that I've seen? Yes. Does that mean that it's a less safe place? I do believe it is much. Go ahead.
No. It's very unsafe. I don't feel safe. I feel violated. And like I said, I feel raped. I think it's time that I get an abortion. We abort the White House that's there right now and get rid of it.
Yeah, well.
Because, you know, but good luck on that because they have control. They have judges in their pocket that are willing to bend, reshape, and change the laws that exist.
And we are constantly getting our hopes built up for something good to happen, only to have them dashed. I mean, we had a majority in the House of Representatives, and they offered so much promise. We were going to have a safety, a control in place so that we wouldn't have runaway budgets and things like that. We would have a more secure border. None of these things have happened with this this house. They've been a waste of space. All they do is pontificate about what they're going to do and what kind of a hearing they're going to have, and nothing, not a damn thing comes from what they're doing. They can tell you, well, yes, it does. We're bringing it to the attention of the public. But what good does that do other than to frustrate us? Why bring out all this nasty stuff that you don't do a thing to stop just for the sake of making us upset? Because that's all you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I could go on and on.
That's all they want to do. That's all they want to do is make us upset. But, you know, everything, and there's a lot of things out there. Fannie, you know, she's still got legal woes against her, but she's going to move forward on her prosecution.
Yeah.
They're going to go after Trump and his assets today. They're going to launch more, you know, more criminality accusations.
She's going to try to get the attention away from her by throwing more crap at Trump. And it ain't going to work, Fannie. Fannie, you just keep doing what you think you're doing because you're going to find it's not going to be effective. You're going to be in trouble. I wouldn't be surprised if she's not the DA within a month or two. But anyway, that's for another show, my friend. We've done it. If you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com.
Okay.
You ask me what I got. I don't know if you can handle what I got.
What do you got?
Can you handle it?
I can handle it. Go ahead. What do you got?
Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.